My speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it.
The Blogosphere Meets Network Radio. This is Think Progress Radio, a progressive rebuttal to the State of the Union. Broadcasting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C., here's your host, Christy Harvey.
It's the State of the Union, baby! And yes, the Blogosphere is meeting Progressive Radio tonight! I'm not going to say we're making history or anything, but you can draw your own conclusions. I'm also not afraid to say I am a political geek. You know, usually I try to push it down a little bit. Some days I say, oh, I can't go to brunch because I'm sleeping in or something, when really I'm home listening to every single word Tim Russert's saying. Whatever. Election night, amateurs, everybody's out watching. It's a national phenomenon. State of the Union is for the hardcore political geeks, and we are all here. We are out. We've been having pizza. We've been having a little bit of beer, and now it's time to get down and dirty with your political self. I'm Christy Harvey. I'm with the Center for American Progress. I'm here as the Director for Strategic Communications, and I have been following the State of the Union tonight, and I've got some pretty cool guys talking with me about it. You know, I watch tonight, you watch tonight, I threw a few soft objects at the TV. I threw one stapler, but we don't count that. And I think tonight was a great example of a full-on political wallow. First, look what we had to work with. This was George W.'s fifth State of the Union speech. He went into it facing steep, steep, hardcore skepticism from everybody. Yeah, he's got the worst poll ratings of his entire political career as president. He's also got worse political ratings than Eisenhower at this point, then Clinton at this point, then Ronald Reagan, his idol at this point. He can't keep up. And there's more bad news for George Bush. Used to be you just had to worry about what the big guys were saying, the network news, the papers in the morning, and then blogs were born. Oh yeah, baby. This was the year of the blogs. And the other reason tonight is really super extra cool is this is the one-year anniversary of the most aggressive, the most gloves-off, the most in-your-face blog out there, in my opinion, Think Progress. Last year, Think Progress started. This was the inaugural night. This was the night we shoved off. And everybody said, what are you doing? You know, nobody's going to listen. Nobody's going to talk about this. There's 24 million other blogs out there. And I didn't make up 24 million to just make up a big number so it sounded huge. It was 24 million other blogs out there. And, I mean, I was a skeptic. And a year went by. And we had a couple thousand last year this time. This year this time, we're talking 1.7 million viewers. We're talking 1.7 people in the blog community. We're talking 1.7 million people who are talking to the blog, thinking about the blog, writing to the blog. It's sheer insanity, and it's great. And I'm talking to three of the members of the Think Progress team who went out there and just did it, man. They just went out there and did it. They survive on a diet of passion, a diet of caffeine, and a diet of sheer drive. And they're here to talk about it and celebrate the anniversary, and I'm thrilled. Okay, here they are. You think you know bloggers? They're the guys in their undershirts, in their basements, drinking a Stroh's, just chatting online. No way, you don't know these guys. They're young. They're fierce. They're funny. They're pretty good looking. And as rumor has it, they never, ever sleep. So here they are. First, there's Nico Pitney, Boy Wonder. He still may get carded in bars, but he's got dreamy blue eyes, and he's the secret weapon. He's the guy who, if there's a lie, he is going to bust it wide open. He never met a lie that he couldn't say, booyah, I got the truth right here. Then we've got Faz Shakir. Faz is the quiet guy. He's the secret guy. He's the guy who sits back, but he's got that laser-like talent for going in, digging out that quote that everybody thought was buried 20 years ago. Digging out that quote that everybody said, oh no, they'll never find that. Go ahead, tell a lie. He's the guy who's going to find it. And then there's Judd. Judd is the godfather, if you will, of Think Progress. He's the godfather of all things blog here at the center. He's the motor, he's the drive, and I have to say, Judd, happy anniversary.
Like, can I just correct you on one thing? Nico is not good looking. So I don't want to start off with a lie to our listener.
Okay, claim V fact. Nico is actually good looking. I've heard girls say Nico's a cute boy.
I got another correction. While I may be wearing an undershirt under my shirt,
yes,
I'm actually wearing a tie and a full sleeve button down shirt.
Seriously,
so I just want to let everybody know that I'm dressed up for this occasion.
Faz, you look like the man. Capital T, capital M. I have to tell you, dude. Like, usually you're shooting down the man. You look like the man tonight. But okay, Judd, happy anniversary. Let's start with you. The blog last year. What did we have? Like 200 people? What do we have this year?
It started off slow. The returns are still coming in. We're counting the hanging chads and figuring out where we are. But I think we're pulling in about 1.7 million visitors a month, so we're happy with it. We're happy with our progress.
It's a good start.
Yeah? Well, you've been a big part of that big start, Nico. So tonight, you guys were on there, you were live blogging every word that came out of George Bush's mouth. You put on the screen, is it true, why it's not true, and what we're going to do about it. What did you think he accomplished tonight, and what did he need to accomplish?
Well, I think what he was trying to accomplish and what the White House said they were trying to accomplish is it was going to be this big shift in agenda off of Iraq, which people are sick of, onto
right.
the kitchen table issues, health care. Was one of the big ones. And as it turned out, it was a lot of hype that there was very little health care in this speech. There was only one paragraph on the vaunted health savings accounts that, you know, the Washington Post and New York Times was telling you was the central part of this speech.
I mean, that was the big thing. That was going to be like the ba-boom, it falls down, we've got a new health care plan.
So in the end...
Not so much?
So in the end, with a few exceptions I'm sure we'll get to as this marathon session continues, it was more of the same, a lot of what we've heard before.
Yeah, the media got spun on this. I mean, there's one paragraph on health care in the whole speech. They said that the focus of the speech was going to be health care. The one question foremost on Americans' minds is, when are we going to get troops out of Iraq?
Right.
And on that front, Bush turned his guns on those people, saying that there is no honor in retreat, in essence blasting his critics. So I think that's the story coming out of here, is that he won't even tolerate a different position from his own, and he's blasting people who want an exit strategy for Iraq.
I'm talking to Judd Legum, Faz Shakir, and Nico Pitney from the world-famous ThinkProgress.org blog. Nico, do you agree with these guys?
Yeah,
a lot of hot air?
I think the head fake was a huge success. There is
the head fake, I like that. I'm going to steal that.
There's a wide consensus among the business community, among the American people, that we need comprehensive change to our health care. And the Bush administration is not going to do that. They have many, their base, their business base is against it, and they're not going to do it. And so if they can get a little play out of the media to suggest that that is one of their interests, that they are looking into that, then, you know, they'll take it. But certainly in reality, they're not doing that.
So he went into this, like we talked about before, with, like, dreadful, wretched poll numbers. People have not gone into a speech at this point with poll numbers like that, unless you're Tricky Dick Nixon, which nobody really wants to be compared to.
He was at 39% in the Wall Street Journal poll this morning.
Right. So do you think there was anything that he said tonight that pulled himself out of it?
Well, let me give you sort of an idea of their expectations. Their pollster put out a memo right before this speech, a one-page memo, and it was basically reviewing how every single president actually goes down. So if Bush goes down one or two points, that means he's succeeded. So that's what they were expecting. So, we'll see if they exceeded that. But I didn't hear anything tonight that made me think anything different is going to happen than that.
I love the Republican pollsters. Only there can you get the secret memo where they say, hey, if you lose, you get to win. You can turn that around, and that means winning.
They've spent a lot of time lowering the bar for President Bush. You know, every time he reads a novel, we're always told, well, President Bush reads books, and we're supposed to think, well, our commander-in-chief is reading novels. They're really adept at lowering the bar for him, but let's not be mistaken here. The State of the Union is an opportunity for the president to speak to the entire nation.
Right.
He should use that opportunity to raise his poll numbers by showing that he's got an agenda on their behalf. And he hasn't done that tonight, and I think that we can hopefully expect that the American people are going to be responding to a deception campaign.
Yeah, I mean, even if there isn't major news in this, the media, of course, will be fawning over Bush. I mean, we know on CNN, their post-State of the Union coverage is going to be 3 conservatives to 1 progressive, and that's supposedly the liberal cable network, the Clinton News Network.
Wait, what do you mean? Who does CNN have on?
I wasn't able to see the specific pundits, but we can get that. But I mean,
but it was
media
very
matters
skewed.
It was like, who was it?
It was former Congressman Barr.
The only one on the left was Paul Begala.
He's a good lefty.
Yep.
They had J.C. Watts. They've got J.C. Watts coming on.
Right. Uh-huh.
Maybe Bill Bennett, their other new correspondent.
Right. But yes, it's a little bit skewed. So let's keep talking about this stuff. But next, let's get down and dirty. Let's get in the muck of this and let's look at what Bush said and what we should believe. Because a lot of the time, that doesn't match up. We'll be right back with the promises, the lies, and much more.
This is Think Progress Radio. On air on Think Progress Radio.
Think Progress Radio. It's basically like you're blogging, but you're listening to the radio, and you're also out at a bar having the best conversation you've ever had about President Bush's State of the Union speech. And you know what? Call us at any time. It's 1-866-55-PRESS. Press that issue. 1-866-557-3777. Call in. Let us know what you're thinking and talk to the guys, the men, the Chuck Norrises behind the blog of Think Progress. They're the guys with all the answers. They've been staying up for the past 364 days to tell you exactly what President Bush said tonight and what he meant. And let's just jump on it, the wiretaps. You know, you get outside of Washington and you start to talk to people and people are really concerned. Is somebody listening to my phone? Hey, what was that click? Is somebody listening to me talk to my son who's doing a summer abroad in Spain? Or is someone clicking into my phone because I went to a protest last week? President Bush came out tonight and said exactly what we knew he was going to say. I mean, come on, how many times can he say this? He said, it's all right, I'm allowed to break the law because at least I told somebody about it.
We now know that 2 of the hijackers in the United States placed telephone calls to Al-Qaeda operatives overseas. But we did not know about their plans until it was too late.
So, yes, they did that. There were a bunch of other times we probably should have clued into what they were doing and didn't. Judd, President Bush said that. I actually saw you grip the remote in your hand and look like you were going to throw it at the TV. You didn't throw it, right?
I didn't throw it because they've given us very nice TVs here, and I'd miss them. But this is a really slimy thing President Bush is trying to do, because what he's trying to say is, if you would have let me do this before, we could have prevented 9/11.
Right.
It's a total lie, because even these 2 hijackers you're talking about, Cheney has been going around the whole country saying this before, and the fact is, we knew that they were in the country. In fact, one of them applied for a visa, which we gave him to.
Right.
And what this was about the FBI not communicating. It was about bureaucratic problems. It wasn't about this authority. They had the authority to wiretap these guys all along. So it's a total lie by Bush, and it's really preying on the fears of Americans, and that's what makes it pretty despicable too, in front of the whole country, the largest audience of the whole year, for him to go and say, listen, you need to be afraid, and that's why you need to let me do whatever I want to do. And that was the problem.
Come on, Judd, were you surprised? I mean, think about the convention. I was with you when he was talking last year when everything was like 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11. Were you surprised he did this?
I'm not surprised because they've been talking about it for a long time. It's not new. But what's surprising is after people point out and say, look, I mean, this was in the Washington Post, and they said, look, this isn't true. Right. Cheney didn't mention the facts here, but they still say it. It doesn't matter. Even after it's debunked, they'll just keep repeating it again and again and again.
So if you just, like, say a huge load of lies slash crap a lot and people believe it, then you get to put it in the State of the Union.
And they've been successful at this on a lot of things. A lot of people believe that Saddam Hussein was behind the planning of 9/11.
Right.
A lot of people believe a lot of things that aren't true, and it's because of these misinformation campaigns.
But Judd, remember the Abraham Lincoln quote. You can deceive part of the people all of the time. You can deceive part of all the people part of the time, but you can't deceive all the people all the time. And I think that from this speech, what we're going to learn is that the American people are going to respond in a way that's going to say, you know, I've heard enough of this wiretapping. They're already, a majority of them are opposed to the Bush's warrantless wiretapping program, and I think that it's going to stay that way. I don't think Bush did anything to convince them that he needs these powers.
Well, I think the president is basically king of the you can fool all the people all of the time. Let's listen to him for a second.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Fool me once, can't get fooled again. Did you get fooled again? It's 1-866-55-PRESS, 1-866-557-377. Call in, let us know what you're thinking, because we're really, really interested. And talk to the boys, the blogger boys. Get inside their heads, too. So, Faz, we were talking about President Bush and his whole, ooh, boogada, 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 let's scare everybody with the wiretaps thing. The thing that really got me tonight is he's still trying to say that whole thing where, you know, oh, the previous presidents did it, everybody else does it, so I should be able to do it. I don't know where he was brought up, but my mom sort of shot down that whole theory when I was about 5. Let's listen to what he said tonight.
Previous presidents have used the same constitutional authority I have, and federal courts have approved the use of that authority. Appropriate members of Congress have been kept informed.
Faz Shakir, Think Progress, give me one word. Yes or no, is that true?
Oh, no, that's complete BS.
All right.
We here at the Center for American Progress know a few members of the Clinton administration. Of course, our CEO, John Podesta, was the Clinton chief of staff. And, you know, we're pretty familiar with what went on in the Clinton administration. They have said, and we believe there's no reason to believe otherwise, that they followed all of the laws, that they followed the NSA program, the laws that were on the books. And when they needed other powers that were not on the books, they got Congress to change the law so that they could follow it.
That seems pretty straightforward. You know, they can't really say that they did exactly what everybody else did because the laws were, what, different laws?
That's right. And Bush should learn from this example. Clinton, when he needed a new power, he went to Congress and said, I want you to change the law to give me that power. In fact, he did do that in 1995. The lesson here for President Bush is that he should do the same thing. Just go to Congress, present your case, tell them what you need, give them the facts of why you need it, and I think Congress will respond.
866-55-PRESS, 866-55-77-377. Call us, let us know if you agree with the boys from Think Progress, or ask them other questions. So, Nico, tonight, you know, you were live blogging. You were talking to, what is it, like 1.7 million people who tune into you guys to see what you're thinking?
No pressure.
So what were people saying when you were live blogging this? You know, did people buy into the myth that we need to wiretap everybody? We need to wiretap your grandma in order to keep people safe.
Well, we've been working this issue for a while, so I think a lot of our readers were we're pretty much on our side, but it's also the American people. I mean, as Faz mentioned, all of the polls suggest, or the vast majority suggests, that Americans see through this. They understand not just that the president didn't need this program, you know, and that it violates civil liberties, but that it may very well be undermining the war on terror. I mean, these warrantless wiretapping.
You mean illegal wiretapping?
Illegal wiretapping.
By warrantless, isn't that just saying, like, wiretapping that's against the law?
Yeah,
sort of.
I mean, it's been...
Maybe that's just me.
They very well may have brought these into court, into the secret FISA court, and used it. And those cases may be thrown out. Legitimate terror investigations may be thrown out.
Let's see what happens. We are coming back. We're right back. And we're talking about healthcare. What's making you sick?
We've got the answers. 866-55-77-377. Call us. Let us know. We're coming back to you with the facts right in your face with the boys from Think Progress.
This is Think Progress Radio. Online and out in front. This is Think Progress Radio.
Think Progress Radio, where the blogosphere meets progressive radio. This is so very cool. It's two of my great loves together. It's sort of like a Reese's peanut butter cup. It's blogging and it's radio. It's great. I hope everybody is listening and having a great time. We are here to debunk President Bush's State of the Union with the guys from the top blog in the country, thinkprogress.org. If you want to know what to think about what President Bush is saying, dude, log on www.thinkprogress.org. They don't sleep. They don't eat. They live to debunk lies. And one of the lies I wanted to talk about right now, this is Christy Harvey, the Director of Strategic Communications from the Center for American Progress, where Think Progress is located. One of the lies that really just got me all spun up out of the speech tonight. President Bush came out and said, yes, I'm going to go and do something about our addiction to foreign oil. We're addicted to foreign oil. I have a new plan. New plan? What is he talking about?
Our third goal is to promote energy independence for our country while dramatically improving the environment. To increase energy production at home so America is less dependent on foreign oil. Less dependent on foreign energy. Less dependent on foreign sources of energy. Much less dependent on foreign sources of energy.
Just in case you didn't recognize that, that's President Bush from every other State of the Union. So when he says he's got a new plan, come on, give me a break. Nico Pitney from Think Progress, bat your blue eyes into that microphone and tell me, is this a lie?
I mean, it's really true. In every single one of the last State of the Unions, he said the same thing about energy dependence.
Seriously?
Exactly. And he said the same thing tonight. And the truth is, when he came into office, 58% of our oil was imported.
Right.
Most of it from the Middle East.
Right.
Today, from 58 now to 66, it's gone up since over every year. And every year he promises to bring it down. And the strange thing is, tonight he says, you know, the way to solve that is to invest in alternative fuels and invest in biofuels. And in his latest budget, alternative fuels cut by $50 million.
Oh my God, your cheeks just got all red, like
you
fired up.
Settle down
this.
There, Nico. Jeez.
Seriously.
Anybody have a hose in here?
866-55-PRESS. Press Nico on this. Get more excitement out of him. 866-55-77-377. Are you paying too much for gas? Do you think President Bush is going to fix it from the things he said in his speech tonight? So, Nico, it's really just not going anywhere.
No, I don't think. I mean, look. I think the president deserves praise for making the pledges that he made tonight. One of them actually happened to be...
Hold, please. Did you just praise President Bush?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Look, I think the pledges are good. I think they're admirable. Now, the big question is, will he keep his word? Just last year, I mean, the president has made plenty of promises before, and we're going to play several others.
Right.
Nico, I think the president wants us to forget that he's been the president for the past 5 years.
Yes,
I mean, he's been saying these things over and over again. We could have had hybrid cars by now. We could have had more development on hydrogen cells, fuel cells. I mean, where's he been? Now he wants us to believe he's the guy who's going to lead us out of this and develop new science and technology for these new hybrid cars. I mean, come on. Like, you've had 5 years. Where have you been?
Well, don't you think that maybe his words tonight would have had a little teeny bit more credibility, shall we say, if he hadn't been the guy trying to give lots of tax breaks and lots of extra just free cash to the oil execs who pulled in record... You know the stats, Jed. You're like stat boy. Like, didn't they pull in record profits this year?
Well, yeah. Exxon pulled in over $10 billion this quarter. They're making $115 million a day, and that's thanks to George Bush. If America is addicted to foreign oil, George Bush is the dealer.
That's very true. Another question, though, is who's out there actually talking to George Bush about this? I mean, it's fine for us to be sitting here talking about it. You know what? Let's talk to Art in D.C. Art's here in D.C., and he actually thinks that a lot of progressives need to be out there and more forceful. Hey, Art, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Yeah, I basically, I'm a journalist myself, and I cover some liberal issues for different magazines, and I thought...
Are you a good journalist, Art?
Well, I don't know. You could read my articles in American Prospect or Mother Jones and decide for yourself.
We think you're a good journalist. Okay, go ahead.
So I thought the it was a plus that obviously the president's speech is going to be filled with pablum and rhetoric. It was surprising how remarkably unapologetic and how unwilling he was to admit any errors. It was a speech, certainly in foreign policy, that could have been delivered 5 years ago.
That's very true. Faz, do you think that that is actually a speech that could have been delivered 5 years ago when he talked about stuff like foreign oil?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's got a lot of apologizing to do for having led this nation into numerous miscalculations. And in fact, what Bush did was to say that the enemies have miscalculated. In fact, in the State of the Union, he says they were the ones who miscalculated. I'm resolute and I'm strong. In fact,
it's the it ain't us kind of thing.
Yeah, Bush is the one who's made a ton of miscalculations in Iraq, from providing the right number of troops to go in, ensuring that they actually did have weapons of mass destruction, providing enough security on the ground, making sure the reconstruction was going well. He's made miscalculation after miscalculation, and now he wants to pin the blame on his critics, saying, you're the one who's trying to undermine me.
Talking about pinning the blame, there's some other promises that Bush has sweetened our ears with over the years, and then, yeah, just forgot about when it came time to do the hard work, like health care.
Our second goal is high-quality, affordable health for all Americans. Greater access to good coverage, helping more Americans afford coverage. All Americans have a good insurance policy to address rapidly rising health care costs and the rising costs of medical care and health insurance. Medical care costs too much.
Hey, Judd, he talked about this again tonight. Tell me anything, seriously, that makes that sound like anything but blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's the talks a lot. He's gotten the first step. He's identified the problem. Unfortunately, he's got no solutions, and in fact, everything he's proposing makes the situation worse.
Oh, that doesn't sound like a very good plan.
Exactly.
First, do no harm. Isn't that sort of the healthcare credo?
That's the first thing, and I think there's a reason why, after all the hype, after all the articles, after the front page of the New York Times and virtually every other paper, he just spent a paragraph talking about healthcare in this speech, because the more the American people know about this program, health savings accounts, which is basically, if you like Social Security privatization,
right,
you're
going
to love this, the less they're going to like about it. So he told them as little as possible, and I think that's probably a successful strategy for
them. Even about the plan itself, Judd, I think that, you know, he's got the wrong diagnosis. Imagine this scenario. Let's say you walk into a doctor's office. The doctor says, oh, you need health care? You say, yeah, I have insurance. And the doctor says, oh, you got insurance? I'm not going to treat you. That's exactly the Bush plan, because he thinks that people have too much insurance.
Ew, I hate that plan.
He thinks that, the problem with Medicare or medicine today is that too many people are using their insurance to go and visit the doctor. He thinks that we need to cut that out. So what he's going to try to do is raise high deductibles and make people not go to the doctor more often. That's not the problem. The problem is cost. The costs are out of control, and he has no plan for that.
Well, that's the problem. I think I know what the solution is. The solution is listen to Nico Pitney, Faz Shakir, Judd Legum, and Think Progress Radio. But when we come back, we're going to talk about what was the response. What were the progressives doing tonight? Did they do a good job? Should they have said more? I don't know. I'm going to talk to these guys, and you know what? They've got the inside scoop, so that's pretty cool.
This is Think Progress Radio. Online meets on air on Think Progress Radio. Dial us up 1-866-557-7377.
The gloves are off. ThinkProgress.org. The bloggers of the airwaves are here. They're talking. And let's have some of you talk back. I've got a blogger from one of my favorite blogs. His name is Bill Scher. He's from Liberal Oasis. in Massachusetts. Bill Scherr, thank you for talking to Think Progress Radio. What's going on?
Well, thanks very much for having me.
Hey, Bill.
I've got Faz Shakir, Nico Pitney, and Judd Legum right here.
It's a fantastic crowd.
Fantastic three.
We love your blog.
Thank you very much. You guys have done bang-up work on, I think, every city of the union since you've been in business. It's an amazing resource.
It's two now, but we thank you. So what did you think about tonight?
Very limp, very lifeless. There's no signature issue coming out of this the way last year. I mean, last year was a huge push on Social Security, and everyone knew it was coming. Everyone knew it was going to be the beginning of a months-long campaign to try to dismantle retirement security in America.
Right.
And so we were kind of primed for that fight, and we were able to beat him on that fight. So now he's chastened. He spent his political capital. He wasted it. And his poll numbers are down in part because of that. But he still wants to advance that anti-government agenda. So there was not a full frontal attack on, say, Medicare today. He only had a small paragraph on health care.
That's the truth. Hey, Bill, what's your blog address?
LiberalOasis.com.
LiberalOasis.com. Is he right? Is there no signature signature issue coming out of this?
I think that's absolutely right,
yeah,
Christy.
Jeff?
I think that it's really a grab bag. And when you come back 2 weeks ago and they say, well, what do you remember about Bush's State of the Union address? I think people are going to go, Bush gave a State of the Union address 2 weeks ago?
Wasn't that the same night as American Idol?
And as Bill was trying to get it, I think that a lot of the story here is that he just tried to blind himself of the problems that are going on. Bill mentioned Medicare. The Medicare prescription drug bill is a disaster for most Americans. They wanted to hear a plan to fix it. Does the president recognize what's going on out there? Does he understand my concerns? The president doesn't even talk about Medicare in his speech.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I think the people working with him are very cunning, and I think that they recognize that if he pushes one item really hard and sets, a bar, and he can't make it because there isn't the support for him or his allies in Congress, then he goes even further down.
But doesn't he need to do something about this, Nico?
No, I think a lot of the items on his agenda can be passed under the radar. For example, there's going to be a budget vote this week, and it'll probably pass a very regressive budget. And he didn't have to mention that. In fact, it's better that he doesn't.
Right, right. Well, there's also the whole issue of oil. We've got Sean Paul from Agonist.org, another great blogger on the line right now. Thank you for calling Think Progress Radio. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Judd, you guys are doing a great job.
Woo-hoo!
It's good to talk to you.
Well, thanks a lot, Sean.
Hey, Sean, say happy anniversary. It's their one-year anniversary.
Yes, exactly. Happy anniversary. And let me tell you, when I do my radio shows down here in San Antonio, Texas, in the Red State, the Red City of the Red State,
uh-huh.
I always, always go to Think Progress because it's just great, great information. And I just wanted to say a couple things tonight. Number one, what about Mars?
What about Mars? Hey, or hydrogen cars?
It's still out there, I think.
Aren't we driving hydrogen cars on steroids on Mars at some point?
Number two is George Bush saying that America is addicted to oil is about like Pablo Escobar telling John Belushi he has a cocaine problem. Come on, people.
It's amazing.
He's the pusher. He's an oil fan.
Keeping America competitive requires affordable energy. And here we have a serious problem. America is addicted to oil.
Addicted
to oil.
He
sounded like Fonzie back in the old happy days when he couldn't apologize to someone. Oil. No, thanks, Sean Paul. I think you're dead on. Everybody go to agonist.org. Sean Paul's got the real goods on this. And we also have right here Tony Truppiano, who is one of our favorite guys, and he wants to talk about how there was really no domestic policy in this speech. Hey, Tony.
Christy, Judd, how are you?
How you doing, Tony?
We've also got Faz and Nico here,
baby. Share the love, Tony.
Well, I'm profoundly disappointed tonight by the lack of vision this president once again demonstrates he does not have for this country. To totally ignore domestic policy by not offering a real plan for anything that represents the kind of America that I live in.
Yeah.
Says to me, Christy, and everybody else, that the reality is that whatever quote-unquote political capital this president had went bankrupt the minute he said it. I'm fed up. The only benefit to the State of the Union this year is that it was only 55 minutes long.
That's pretty good. I was thinking kind of the same thing once I got through the first 20 minutes. Tony, thank you so much. But, yeah, is he right? Did he spend all of his political capital?
Well, I hope so, because if he spent a lot on this speech, he needs to get he's asked for a refund, I think.
I love how Tony said Christy and you all. I feel like I'm the front girl in, like, a boy band or something. Isn't it great?
Called this the Christy and Everyone Else Show.
It's Think Progress Radio, and you know what? We're coming right back, and we're going to throw some numbers at you that are going to blow your mind. Think Progress Radio.
This is Think Progress Radio.
So we got through the pre-buttle, we got through the beer and pizza during the speech itself, and I just got to tell you that Judd just walked in here with four Red Bull. So we're about to be Red Bull-orific. Judd, is this part of your normal diet?
Every night at 11 p.m., four Red Bulls. Puts you right to sleep.
Woo! Well, I think one of the... I'm actually not going to have one because that's the kind of thing that makes my eyes roll around independently. I noticed, though, Nico, is that your second? Third?
Yeah, well, it's my first. Judd's turning me on. This is my new
Nico,
program.
Please, Nico, this is a family
show. This isn't
show.
That kind of show.
Judd, please do not corrupt young Nico. The boy wonder goes down in a haze of Red Bull and radio.
So vain.
So, we were talking tonight about the State of the Union by the numbers. If you really just look at the State of the Union itself, there are some crazy ways that you can look at it just by the numbers. Here's what I'm talking about. 833. That's the number of words in the very first State of the Union address as given by George Washington. Why is that interesting? Well, actually, only because that means that speech was 4 minutes long. Can you imagine what we could have done with our lives if tonight's speech was 4 minutes long?
I really hope that next year President Bush heeds George Washington's model.
And does an 833-word
speech. Yeah, 4 minutes, max.
Think of how many other Red Bull you could have, like, downed in that time. Judd, you got a number for me?
Well, I think a big number this speech was 3. That was the number of times he mentioned Social Security. I think it was sort of one of the highlights of the night when he said, Congress failed to pass my Social Security reform, and the entire Democratic side stood up and gave him a rousing round of applause.
Fantastic Woo! Job. Fantastic job by the Democrats. Yeah.
Standing ovation.
But what this really represents is the big failure of last year's State of the Union. He said it 19 times last year. Remember, this was the big push. He went on a tour.
It was 60-day tour.
60-day tour all around the country. This was his issue, and it went down in flames. So I guess he's not quite ready to give it up yet, but he's getting there.
866-55-PRESS. Press your issue. 866-55-77-377. Call me if you have got a number from tonight's speech. Faz, Shakir, what's your number?
My number is 2. That's the number of times Bush mentioned Bin Laden tonight. Now, if we look back at 9/11, remember Bush said, we won't forget the lessons of 9/11. He said, I want that guy dead or alive. And then just a year later, he said, I'm truly not that concerned about Bin Laden. If he went before the American people right now and said, if we went before the American people and said, hey, it's been 5 years since 9/11, and we haven't caught the guy who caused that great catastrophe, what do you think the reaction of the American people would be? I mean, it's just an absurdity.
Rioting
that he
in
will,
the streets,
yeah,
maybe?
He just doesn't want to talk about the guy. I mean, he's got a terrible record on Bin Laden. Bin Laden's taunting him out there with tapes, and his remedy is, let's just not talk about this. Let's not even address this issue.
Shh, if we're very, very quiet and we're hunting rabbits, nobody will come after us. Nico, what's your number for tonight?
My number's 2 also. That's the number of times he mentioned Medicare. But it wasn't the kind of mention that you'd think. It wasn't in reference to the Medicare prescription drug bill that he passed, that he backed, and now is confusing millions of seniors around the country that's risen their drug prices.
Right.
Actually, the 2 mentions of Medicare were about entitlement costs. He thinks Medicare is costing too much, Social Security costs too much, and seniors should be, upset about it.
Nico's fired up. Faz is fired up. Judd's fired up. Hell, I'm fired up. This is Christy Harvey. This is Think Progress Radio. And, dude, we are just getting started. We have an entire hour left. It's all of us. It's the top bloggers from around the country. More Red Bull. Lots of Red Bull. We're coming back at you right after this break with more about tonight's State of the Union. Stick around.
This is Think Progress Radio.
My speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it.
The Blogosphere Meets Network Radio. This is Think Progress Radio, a progressive rebuttal to the State of the Union. Broadcasting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C., here's your host, Christy Harvey.
Dude, it's almost too much to handle. We've got the Blogosphere meeting Progressive Radio. It's all crashing together, all in the same room. I'm Christy Harvey. I'm the Director for Strategic Communications here at the Center for American Progress, which is located two blocks left of the White House, right here in Washington, D.C. And I'm sitting here with three guys from the top blog in the country. If you know blogs, you know these three names. I've got Nico Pitney, the Boy Wonder, Faz Shakir, the Silent Weapon, and Judd Legum, the godfather of all things blog. And, you know, we've been talking about tonight's State of the Union for a couple of weeks. I'm going to admit it right here, right now. You guys can stop me if I'm giving any secrets away, but we're geeks. We're huge dorks. We're very good looking. We're very cool. We hang out. But when it comes to the politics thing, we totally dork out and watch everything that we can. And we've been trying to prep for tonight's State of the Union. President Bush is coming out there. He's outlining his plan for America. He's going to tell us how he's going to save the world. And his big, big thing that he is going to save us from is...
Tonight I ask you to pass legislation to prohibit the most egregious abuses of medical research.
I don't really know what that means. Frogs with wings? Judd?
I think it's swimming porcupines. Dolly the sheep.
God, save us from Dolly.
Yeah. Did she die? I think she might have died.
I think, but
or
no.
Or free from Dolly.
Maybe Snuppy died. Wasn't Snuppy the cloned dog?
Oh. Now, it's Cheney's baboon heart. I mean, we don't want that happen. We do not want
that.
It's beating strong.
Okay, so Snuppy the cloned pooch with Cheney's baboon heart swimming with porcupines, I think is what... he's saving us from... No, let's see what it is, actually.
Creating human-animal hybrids and buying, selling, or patenting human embryos.
Oh, my
human
God.
Human life is...
The hybrids! They're coming! Coming to a theater near you in 3D, rated R. Okay, so I know I've been...
Nico, pipe down over there.
Come on, Nico.
This is a bold...
Whatever, Faz. He's the guy who lost his shirt during the break. Faz is now
Nico's
here in this
sweating like crazy in here.
I think this is a bold stand by President Bush. I mean, the millions of liberals, they stopped me on the street. We must have animal-human hybrids. Like, this Bush is just swatting down a mission.
He's got it together. Well, that's the thing is, Judd, you know better than anybody. Has there been a big... progressive underground grassroots outcry has MoveOn.com gone out there fighting for human animal hybrids?
Yeah, we've been scheming about this for a long time, and we will not rest. I personally am not going to sleep until I create a human animal hybrid, and I'm starting with Nico as the base, and I'm then going to add the animal from there.
Okay, I think that's a pretty good base.
And
put a shirt on at some point.
Can I just point out,
Joe's checking me out here.
This is the administration that allows pesticide testing on human infants.
Oh, God. Leave it to Nico to bring it down with the wonky stuff.
Seriously, though, this is pure hypocrisy.
Okay, I'm going to go, too. I'm sorry, you guys know you have my heart deep down, but I kind of love this guy named John Aravosis, who is part of America Blog. He's my favorite blogger. He's the guy I go to every morning. John, are you here on Think Progress Radio?
I am here on Think Progress Radio.
Woohoo!
Hey, John.
We're all kind of excited and dorking out at how excited we are. What's going on?
Clearly, no one's taking their shirt off in my house, but hey,
so,
you know.
You
need to invite Faz over.
So, John from America Blog, if you were going to be hybrid with an animal, which animal would you pick?
Oh, Ann Coulter. I can't believe she didn't come up. You guys riffed for like 5 minutes on animal-human hybrids and nobody mentioned Ann Coulter?
Well, that's why we brought you on.
See, you have a purpose
here.
So, what'd you think about tonight, and what's with the animal-human hybrids?
I know. No, it was... You know, it was weird. I mean, it's hard to analyze because we hate the guy so much that it's difficult. I mean, literally, though. I mean, it's difficult to watch and not kind of go, ugh, I just can't handle this.
John, I'm a lady. I have nothing but love in my heart.
I know you do.
Thank you, dear.
But seriously, though, I mean, what was interesting to me was he didn't knock it out of the ballpark, and that was good. I mean, after a while, he was speaking okay. The Dems threw him off his groove when they all stood up and clapped about the Social Security and about stopping him on Social Security. It pissed him off, which
right.
is great. And from that point on, I think he just kind of read the rest of his speech, and he wasn't really with it as much as he was before. I just don't.
He was in his happy place.
Well, he certainly wasn't in his happy place after that. I think he was at the beginning. I was a little nervous because I thought, God, he's speaking pretty well.
Right.
The only thing is, I don't. Look, this is an era. We live in an era of consequence. What the hell does that even mean?
That's
the kind of stuff you'd write in an essay in high school, and she'd give you an F. Go. It sounds cute, but what does it mean?
Right.
It's the era of animal-human hybrids. What could be more consequential than that?
John, you're a blog meeting radio on Think Progress Radio. Plug your blog for us.
Plug your blog. Okay. Go to AmericaBlog.com now.
Go now. Go now. If you're a true patriot, you will find John Aravosa's on AmericaBlog.com. So, is he right? Was there really no there? Did he check out? Faz, you're shirtless. Take this one.
No. I mean, well, I do think he's right that after that Social Security comment, and, you know, he gets thrown off by the applause where he didn't expect it, after that he had that kind of the frown, the harsh look that he's known, you know, he's been known for. He's improved over the years.
The
but
furrowed
it went back.
Brow.
Exactly. It's his tick, and he got it.
Yeah, the tone of the speech was really boring. I mean, he started off speaking very slowly, putting everyone to sleep. As John said, then the Democrats kind of resounded with this applause, and then he kind of got ticked off and raced through the end of the speech. It was really uneventful for the most part.
Well, the blogs are actually taking over. I've got another one of our favorite bloggers here. It's Redhead from FireDogLake.com. Christy Smith, what did you think?
Well, I was underwhelmed, I have to say.
By the way, I love the chick bloggers. You know, I think there need to be more ladies on the internet.
That's kick-ass chick bloggers.
Kick-ass chick bloggers. Hell yeah. And thanks for kicking ass. So why were you underwhelmed?
You know, I loved the whole NSA bit that he stuck in there. You know, hi, I'm breaking the law and I'm going to continue to break the law was basically the whole theme of that. And, you know, as a former prosecutor, I can't tell you how that warms the cockles of my heart.
But Redhead from FireDogLake.com, didn't he say that he was allowed to break the law because he informed Congress? Now, didn't he inform us, making it double easy for him to break the law?
Actually, what he said was other presidents have been doing the same thing that I have under FISA, which technically would be correct, except they actually followed the law when they were doing that. Decided not to bother with that whole law thing and just do whatever the hell he wanted.
Judd Legum, you know the insides and outs of this. You're a lawyer.
Yeah, well, what I was surprised is he managed in a very compact way to get all the major lies about this program into one paragraph.
It was impressive writing, I have to say. Of course, he didn't write it himself, so, you know.
Right, but it was good work. Right. He got in that other, you know, the Clinton administration did it too. We informed Congress. The courts have said it was legal. It was all packed into that one paragraph, and at the end you heard pretty much the full scope of their misinformation.
Judd, you're starting to sound like somebody who doesn't want to go after Al-Qaeda.
Well,
yeah, come on, Judd, Faz, now you're starting to sound like a lawyer like Judd.
I mean, Bush has convinced some people, though. I think Media Matters reported today that at Fox News, the diktat has come down. It's now the terrorist surveillance program. That's how the anchors are referring to it. So, you know, maybe...
That was a tough sell. Fox News, I'm sure they really had to work that over hard.
Well, they can call it terrorist surveillance program all they like, but they have to put illegal terrorist surveillance program on the front end of it. Because hey, no matter how you slice it, he's still breaking the law.
I'll be happy with that. Hey, Christy, the blogs met the radio. Plug your blog for me.
It's firedoglake.blogspot.com.
All right. Well, she's a great one. So,
great blog.
I read it. Do you read it? We
oh,
read
yeah,
all
we
the blogs.
We all read it every day. Some of the best information out there is on Fire Dog Lake. It's Christy, who we just talked to, and Jane Hampshire. And they'll just dig their teeth into an issue, and they won't let go until it submits.
You know what lesson of that is? Don't make chicks mad. Because when girls are mad, they are not going to give up. So, yeah, we heard from John Aravosis of America Blog. We heard from Christy from Fire Dog Lake. We've got the big bloggers. We've got Think Progress. We've got Nico Pitney, Faz Shakir, Judd Legum. They're here. And you know what? You know why maybe you don't understand what they're saying? It's the first time you've heard the truth in a while. It's Big Truth, and we've got a lot more of it coming up. Hold on.
This is Think Progress Radio. Your first chance to talk about it. 866-557-7377. This is Think Progress Radio.
Kick back, open a new beer, and listen to Think Progress Radio, because we are slicing and dicing President Bush's speech tonight into a million little pieces. But you know what? We're not the ones lying on this one. We've got all of his lies, and we're going to tell you what they are, because you know what? We like you, and we think you deserve to know when the President of the United States is lying to your face. This is Christy Harvey. I'm the Director of Strategic Communications here at the Center for American Progress, and I've got three super cool, super smart, very funny, sort of hot guys sitting here with me right in studio. I've got Nico Pitney, the boy wonder. I've got Faz Shakir, the silent weapon. And I've got Judd Legum, the godfather of all things blog. Together with the rest of their team, they are what we call thinkprogress.org. And what the right wing calls scary. And what the left wing calls a breath of fresh air taking over the blog world. Judd, how many people do you think read you guys a month?
Besides,
you can count me and your mom.
Counting my whole family, including second cousins.
Yes.
I think we get about 1.7 million a month, and we're looking to grow it here. Now that we're on the radio, it should be at least 100 million next month.
Hell yeah. So if you're listening, log on right now. It's thinkprogress.org. Or if you want to talk to these guys or yell at these guys, dude, maybe you don't agree with them. You know, they're good, they're smart, but are they always right? I don't know. I think so, but I could be wrong. 866-77-377. That's 866-55-77-377. 866-55-PRESS. Press the issue. Press them. They're ready for it. And the thing that I was really listening to the speech for tonight was the economy. I mean, we all know people who are out of work. We all know people who are struggling in the workplace. And President Bush says he's the friend of the common man. And, oh, the economy is so strong. And what's his rationale for the tax increases?
In the last 5 years, the tax relief you passed has left $880 billion in the hands of American workers, investors, small businesses, and families. And they have used it to help produce more than 4 years of uninterrupted economic growth.
Cutting taxes for the rich people. Faz, did that work?
Well, Bush wants you to believe that his tax cuts are really rejuvenating this economy. In fact, we're having the weakest recovery of any recession in like 70 years. And
7 years?
70 years.
70 years, yeah. With a zero on the end.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a lot of years.
Yeah, and as for like normal, regular, ordinary people who are out working 9 to 5, they've seen their hourly wages, their weekly wages decrease this past year. How can you say that the economy is working when the tax cuts are going all primarily to the wealthy, and the ones who are working 9 to 5 are earning less money than they were last year?
Right. Do you have that up on your blog?
Yeah,
on thinkprogress.org?
Yeah, you can go to thinkprogress.org, and we've debunked the statistics from Bush's speech on the economy.
So if you're out there and your job is not going quite as well as Bush says it is, give us a call, 866-55-PRESS, 866-55-7737. Nico, tax cuts, are they working?
Yeah, I mean,
are they really what's making us stronger? Do you feel stronger because George Bush cut taxes for his friends?
Not quite. And Bush got a huge fly in his soup this morning. The news
fly
today.
In his soup, is that really what you want to say right there?
Well,
that's all right. Go with it.
Apparently, wage growth is these new numbers came out today. It's the smallest bump in 9 years. And it's the continuation of what's been an extremely disappointing record. Bush has actually had the lowest job growth since World War II. I mean, it speaks for itself.
Yeah, that doesn't sound so great. So what does he want to do to capitalize on all of this horrible tax cut stuff that's really not going very far? Let's see what he wants to do with these tax cuts.
Because America needs more than a temporary expansion. We need more than temporary tax relief. I urge the Congress to act responsibly and make the tax cuts permanent.
Judd Legum, is that responsible?
Well, it's not if he says he's going to do what he promised to do, which is get the deficit under control.
Right.
So the Congressional Budget Office, which does these kind of things, said, listen, if you don't make the tax cuts permanent, we're going to have $1.2 trillion in deficits over the next 10 years. So what Bush is saying is, that's not enough of a hole. I'm going to dig it further
keep digging.
By adding hundreds of billions of dollars more so I can extend my tax cuts, which benefit the wealthy.
Judd, remember in 2002 he said his budget, his tax cuts would make a deficit that would be small and short term. And in fact, we're now predicting deficits for as far as the eye can see. And as Judd said, I mean, we're just continuing to dig ourselves into a hole. There's no rationale for tax cuts. They simply aren't working.
So, but Faz, I know that when you describe yourself when you describe yourself out loud to people, you don't say that you're conservative. But don't you think what Bush is proposing is really anti what most conservatives think? Don't they want lower deficits and lower spending and things like that?
Yeah, I think his whole administration is a new breed of conservatism that true traditional conservatives just can't grab on hold to and say that they're proud of. Because if you look at it, the growth in entitlement spending has just gone out of control. Growth in spending in general is out of control. If you look at the growth of new federal agencies, we're now going into new parts of the world and occupying it, and that's not a traditional conservative philosophy. And as you mentioned, conservatives have always argued for a small government, and you definitely can't make that case here. They've also said that we're the party of fiscal discipline. You also can't make that case about President Bush. So I'm not sure what type of conservative he is. If I were a conservative, I would say he's not my president.
So basically, if you're a progressive, you're not that into Bush. If you're a conservative, you shouldn't be that into Bush. Let's take this outside and let's talk to Eric from Houston. Eric, you say that you think the president is disingenuous. I think we might agree with you. What's going on?
Oh my God, I've got so many damn things to say.
Bring
well,
it
so
on.
So do we. Bring it.
First off, I would really like to thank the bloggers and the Netroots for their work on focusing on the senators.
Filibuster.
Filibuster stuff. Do you have a blog, Eric?
No, I don't. I do not.
But you're a big blog reader?
Oh, yes, I am. And I'm a big news reader, and I'm a news junkie, and I'm very politically aware. And you talk about what we're supposed to be talking about right now is what the president was talking about
right.
in his State of the Union address, and what he did not talk about is his violation of the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution.
That's kind of dicey for him to talk about because then it sounds like he's doing illegal stuff.
Well, that's because it is something that he's doing that's illegal. And we can go on and on, and I will go on and on.
well, actually, we're going to go on and on for you, but thanks for calling. Think Progress Radio at 866-55-PRESS. Press the issue, 866-55-7737. Judd, do you think he was being disingenuous tonight?
Well, I think so.
I mean the president, not Eric the caller from Houston.
No, I think Eric is a man of integrity.
Not impeachable.
He's upstate. I've never met him, but I'd take a bullet
no,
for him.
No, but honestly, Eric's the type of reader that we all like to have because he says he's not a blogger, and too often people think that bloggers are talking to other bloggers. In fact, we got people out there who just want to learn the truth and are reading us for news, factoids, like he says.
Like my mom. My mom reads you guys.
Yeah, we want to provide information to people
Trudy.
To make arguments.
Hey, Trudy, yes.
We're there. We're working hard for Trudy.
Working hard
blog
for Trudy
for grandmothers. It's
Well, that's great. And you know what else is great? We're coming right back. We've got lots of lies that we're about to deflate. We've got lots of bloggers coming in to 866-55-PRESS. And we're right here for the duration for the State of the Union Progressive Rebuttal.
This is Think Progress Radio. Turn on, tune in, sound off. This is Think Progress Radio.
You know you wanted it. The blogosphere meets progressive radio. I'm not afraid to say it. I wanted it. This is awesome. And I'm sitting here. This is Christy Harvey, Director of Strategic Communications here at the Center for American Progress. And I'm here with the boys of Think Progress. They're fierce, they're smart, they're funny, they're hot, they're here, they're talking. I've got Nico Pitney, Faz Shakir, Judd Legum, and dude, I have never heard three guys with more to say about something like the State of the Union. I thought I could geek out on things like President Bush talking. These are the guys who can really, really get down deep and tell you what you need to be thinking. This is kind of awesome. But the one thing, Judd, and I'll ask you this, you know, we talk about this all the time, but you get out of Washington, D.C. for 2 seconds, talk to one person in the real world. I just did, like, those air quotes. I'm really sorry about that. But you talk to one person in the real world, and one of the first things they ask is, where are progressives? Where are the new ideas? What are people doing? Do you think the progressives and the lefties, the liberals, are they out there? Are they talking back, especially tonight with the State of the Union?
Well, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here and
say
that actually there are progressives who have ideas. I don't necessarily think they're in Congress right now, but there's liberals who have good ideas. They have great ideas. The problem is when Tom DeLay is calling up Jack Abramoff to decide what is going to be on the House floor, they're not really checking in at the Center for American Progress
or
with all the
so
great
much.
Liberal ideas. They're checking in with the pharmaceutical industry, with all the special interests and deciding what they want on the House floor. So, you know, that's really the issue. You don't see the Democratic ideas, the progressive ideas, because there's a force blocking them from getting the attention they deserve.
Faz?
But do you think we even need progressive ideas right now?
Do we need progressive ideas right now?
They're in the reserves, but we got to win power back if we were going to actually use them. Why even bother putting them out to be attacked? We need to make, I think, the counter-argument right now, spend our time pointing the guns at the ideas that we're opposing.
866-55-PRESS, 866-55-77-377. Are you on Judd's side, where you think we need good, strong, progressive ideas? Or are you with Faz Shakir, where you think, you know what, first we need to win the war, then we can bring the battle? 866-55-PRESS. Now, Nico, Mr. Tiebreaker, where do you come in on this?
Well, I wanted to talk about something else. I want to talk about their choice of Tim Kaine to do the response, kind of progressive response.
So you agree with me, that's what you're saying.
Well, not that many words. But yes.
Wait a grab.
All right, we got that settled.
Judd.
Let's get on to the next topic. Tim Kaine.
God, this is like Florida 2000. Go ahead.
So Tim Kaine, I mean, I'm not necessarily with the folks who demanded it be MRTHA that respond to President Bush, but I do think the choice of Kaine.
Oh, you mean I didn't even realize Jack MRTHA was up. People wanted him
to be
the response?
There was kind of a groundswell, and now it turns out that he is going to do a response. He'll be responding tomorrow, I guess, at 3 p.m.
Hey, Nico, who's Tim Kaine?
Tim Kaine, he is the governor-to-be in Virginia. He is going to succeed Mark Warner, just won the election in November.
Hey, Faz, thank you for not saying, hey, wonk boy.
Tim Kaine, I mean, it's Santa Claus, Michael Jackson, and Tim Kaine.
Well,
those are the people everybody knows about.
The man who needs no introduction, that's how I know. But
so is he the right choice, Judd, do you think?
I mean, I think it's a good choice because here's a guy who's pretty liberal, has some pretty liberal positions on the death penalty, on some other issues, and went into a traditionally conservative state like Virginia and kicked some ass. And so I think that's why they put him in there. And, you know, I don't think anyone really listens to the Democratic response after the State of the Union anyway.
866-55-PRESS, did you listen to the Democratic response? Just tell me yes or no. 866-55-77-377. Did you listen?
He doesn't even have a record. I mean, who knows Tim Kaine? He's been a governor for, what, 3 weeks?
Who was your choice?
Oh, I mean, there's plenty of choices. First of all, if you're going to actually...
Bob Graham. He loves Bob Graham.
I love Bob Graham. Yeah.
But, I mean, if James Dobson doesn't give the Democratic response...
Why didn't we have somebody who could speak on national security? I think that that's an important issue. Progressives are really lacking on that front. And we have no voices who can push back in that.
You know what I think we should have done? We should have had a John Kerry simulcast from Davos. Switzerland, John Kerry on national security.
Boys, be nice.
Look, though, I think Tim Kaine, I mean, it exposes the sensitivity that people on the left have of showing that they, you know, their values are represented in the red states. And it's like Nixon saying, I'm not a crook. Well, people just assume that he is a crook. And if people on the left say, oh, we're popular in the red states, people are going to assume, well, you're so sensitive about it, maybe you're not.
This is Christy Harvey from the Center for American Progress. I'm with the Think Progress Boys. That's the one of the top five blogs in the nation. I'm with Nico Pitney, Faz Shakir, Judd Legum. We're talking about whether or not progressives need to get spinoplasty. Is it a time to finally give a backbone to the progressives to stand up and take a stand? Some of us think yes, some of us think no. I want to know what you think at 866-55-PRESS. So do you think Nico's on the right track there, Faz?
No, I think he's got a valid point that Democrats are on the defensive. Progressives have been on the defensive for a long time. I think that there's an articulation. A lot of people think that they need to articulate an alternative agenda. I would, like I said before, I think they need to focus on making sure that people aren't buying into the Republican agenda. Once we gain power back, that's an opportunity to start selling people on your ideas and your plans. Right now, it's time to make sure that...
Let me interrupt here with a history lesson, Faz.
Oh, here we go with the Judd Legum history lesson.
Professor Legum, proceed.
Because what the right wing did is they didn't sit around and say, first we're going to get power, then we're going to come out with ideas. They, for 40 years, pushed these ideas. They were crazy ideas. They were laughed at. They were spit on. And one of their ideas was Social Security privatization. Started 40 years ago, again and again and again, they push it. And then finally, it actually becomes the program for the President of the United States. It failed, but it rose to that level.
How many times did you...
I love you, but I think that was a little bit of booyah.
Hold on.
How many times did you hear about Social Security privatization in the campaign? How many times did Bush go out there and say, hey, I'm going to privatize Social Security. Everybody vote for me. No, in fact, what they've learned is how to campaign in a negative way. They've been very skillful in their tactics, and they've won power. Then when they get into power, it's like, oh, my God, what kind of agenda have they brought to office? I didn't realize that they were going to pull this garbage on me.
But that's a different issue. That's campaign tactics. We can agree on that.
Look, there's a perfect counterexample here, and that's the Contract for America. People always point to that in 1994. You know, they had this agenda. It was very positive. But it came out in September of 1994, 2 months before the election.
It was
a PR stunt.
They hadn't
been working on it for you know, months or years. It was a last-minute effort, and they swarmed the press with it and gave the perception that they had this positive...
Nico, you know I adore you. I'm still not quite clear where you're coming down on this. Are you a Faz man or a Judd man?
I don't think Nico wants to take a stand.
Look, Nico.
He's what we call a flip-flopper.
And I let others decide.
The Nico Pitney flip-flop. Let's see what Michael from Akron, calling from Radio Free Ohio 1350, is thinking. Hey, Michael, what do you think? Are Dems strong enough? Are progressives strong enough in talking about issues?
I think the Democrats would do better if they focused on the economy, education, and social issues, as opposed to just the only main issues out in the forefront are abortion and same-sex marriage, things of that nature. They're two devices. Those issues are two devices.
I think I might agree with Michael from Akron. Thank you for calling Think Progress Radio at 866-55-PRESS. Judd, do you think he's got a point?
Well, I think that's right. You got to go to your strengths. And I think people trust liberals more on issues like education, like the economy, and there's a good reason. You had Clinton in for 8 years, and it was the best economy we ever had. And so far, 5 years of Bush, it's been one of the worst economies in modern times.
It wouldn't hurt for Democrats to start talking more about their values, though. I mean, those issues right there are values. these issues, yeah. And they're constitutional issues. They make the case on the constitutional grounds. Why can't Democrats come up with constitutional amendments of their own and say, these are our values, health care for all?
Okay, you guys have heard thinkprogress.org, one of the top blogs in the country, maybe the world, the whole planet, talk about what progressives need to do to get the message out. But you know what we need to talk about next? What the other side's doing. We sneaked in, we saw what their talking points are going to be, and the boys of thinkprogress.org are going to tell you why they're wrong. This is Christy Harvey with Think Progress Radio.
This is Think Progress Radio. Online meets on air on Think Progress Radio.
You got blogs? You got progressive radio? Grab yourself a beer. You've got all you need to get through the night, baby. This is Christy Harvey, Center for American Progress. I'm sitting here with my three favorite bloggers in the whole world. I'm not afraid to say it. I've got Nico Pitney. I've got Faz Shakir. I've got Judd Legum. The three of them together plus the rest of their team equals what? How about thinkprogress.org, one of the top blogs in the whole planet, the whole country. They get 1.7 people reading them every month.
That's 1.7 million people.
Did I say billion with a B?
No, you said 1.7 people, and that was going to be really hard.
Oh, dear. That would be not very many people at all.
Seven-tenths of Nico.
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. See, I'm all excited about it. It's 1.7 million people reading them every month. And we're here. And the thing that I like about these guys is, you know how sometimes, like, we go to the movies or we sleep or we eat? These guys don't do that. Like, they just blog and follow and chase. And they go after the president. They go after the right-wingers. They go after the truth, basically, and try and get it out there. So one of the things that I know what's coming up is the right-wing spin machine is getting dizzy right now. They started winding up for the State of the Union basically last week and trying to get their idea of how things went out there. President Bush basically could have gone on stage tonight and, I don't know, vomited, and they would have said, oh, great speech. Best vomit we've seen since first President Bush in Japan kind of thing. So, Judd, what should we expect to see? And is it true? How can we combat it when our moms who might be right-wingers, I'm sorry, Trudy, if you're listening, when they say, oh, I heard that George Bush did a great job at State of the Union, what do you say back?
Well, I think you say that, one, he probably said some things that sounded nice, but if you look back at all the other State of the Unions, he never follows through. And I think too, you look at the reality. Look at your pocketbook. Look at the price of gas. Look at what's happening in Iraq. That's the reality out there. And nothing in that speech today really goes a long way towards changing that reality. So that's what I'd start out with.
866-55-PRESS, 866-55-77-377. Press the issue. Faz, what else do you think that the right-wingers are going to go out there and try and trick us by saying?
Oh, well, I think they're going to try to say that Bush is restoring integrity to the office, same things that we've heard for a while. And I think he gets away with being one of at least ushering in an environment into Washington that's one of the most corrupt the city has ever seen. We're talking about an administration that's mired in the midst of an Abramoff scandal.
Right.
They had a great relationship with Tom DeLay, who's now under indictment. Karl Rove is still under investigation for his role in leaking the name of an undercover CIA agent. Scooter Libby, of course, the vice president's former chief of staff, has been indicted, and his trial will be coming up soon. I mean, the types of...
Oh, my God. Faz, when you have to say all of the corruption,
I'm getting tired.
In the middle or
I'm
something.
Tired.
You gotta, like, flush
I got some more. There's some more. David Safavi, we haven't even gotten into some of the other people. But, I mean, the list just goes on. And for people to believe that the president has ushered in some sort of integrity into office is just incorrect. It's one of the fallacies he gets away with.
You know, I was looking on the National Review's blog, which
yeah.
is a very right wing site, and one of their posters there said that President Bush has managed to sound lofty and noble while reminding you that the other guys are defeatist legalistic naysayers. And I was thinking, you know, maybe we should change the name of our blog from thinkprogress.org to defeatistlegalisticnaysayers.org.
I thought maybe loftyandnoble.org sounded kind of meaningless.
Judd, doesn't that go right up against what Bill Kristol said about how the speech was conciliatory? I mean, how can one right-winger say it was a conciliatory speech and the other one was saying that he's blasting naysayers?
Well, I think that, you know, they haven't really made up their mind about this.
Now, Faz, I think that the jump in logic you made there is that right-wingers are going to say things that make sense. You just can't start thinking that, sweetie, or else it's just going to get all confusing.
Yeah, I mean, it was really hard to start defending Bush. You know, they've been trying to do it for, what, 5 years now? Fred Barnes has got a new book called Rebel in Chief, which is just pure nonsense. It just, like, spews this nonsense about how how Bush is this unbelievable president we haven't seen since Reagan. And they just try to fall over themselves and ruin their own credibility and integrity by trying to back a president who doesn't fall in line with their values and hasn't respected the office.
Here's my favorite Bush defender, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chris Matthews.
Well, it's probably the greatest gamble since Roosevelt backed Britain before World War II. The president deserves credit. This gamble comes through, and it's not clear yet. If his gamble that he can create a democracy in the middle of the Arab world, and he does it, he belongs on Mount Rushmore.
Okay, quickly, Judd. President Bush, belong on Mount Rushmore?
Absolutely. In fact, I think we should knock the whole rest of it down and just make one big bust of George Bush.
I'm willing to grant him like a pebble, and we can put the pebble on top of Mount Rushmore, you know, like George Bush's head.
But watch out for global warming, which might knock that down. It's Think Progress Radio. This is Christy Harvey from the Center for American Progress. We are right back.
This is Think Progress Radio. Over the radio. This is Think Progress Radio.
Go ahead and turn it up. You know you want to blast it. It's Christy Harvey here with Think Progress Radio. I'm with Nico Pitney, Faz Shakir, and Judd Legum, the guys who bring you every single day, not even every day, multiple times a day, thinkprogress.org, the best blog you will ever lay your pretty little eyes on. And now it's time for the end of the show, predictions. Every year in George Bush's speech, there's one little teeny bit that sort of sticks. For example, we all remember the 16 words that turned out to A, get us into war, and B, be completely untrue. We all remember the axis of evil. We all forget things like steroids. We all forget things like making over gang warfare. Judd Legum, what do you think we're going to remember or forget out of this speech?
Well, I'd say his defense of the warrantless illegal wiretaps.
Oh, you mean his defense of being a criminal?
That's right, because I think he went in, he went hard, he went with all the deceptions, he packaged it into a paragraph, and I think we got hearings starting next Monday, Alberto Gonzalez live in front of Congress, and I think it's really going to come back and bite him when people look back on that and say, hey, the president wasn't being honest with us about a really serious issue. So I'd say that's what's going to stick in people's minds.
You know what? I think it's already stuck in my mind. Faz? Well, you agree, or do you have a new thing?
Well, I have a new thing.
You're kind of a maverick.
Yeah, I was looking through the speech, and you know, I'm looking at this line here that says, the nations of the world must not permit the Iranian regime to gain nuclear weapons. You know, and God forbid that we do go to war again, but hopefully we're not looking back 2 or 3 years from now saying, oh my goodness, I can't believe that Bush was laying out the groundwork for war against Iran.
I'm afraid that might be the case, but it scares the hell out of me. I got to tell you, Nico?
Well, I agree with Judd, but I'm going to be a contrarian and say, as I said earlier,
Nico the contrarian, here's something new. Okay.
I think President Bush, I don't think he wanted to make major news out of the speech. I don't think he wanted to raise the bar or spike expectations. And I think he did that very well.
All right. George Bush, we know, rock bottom in the polls. Total rock bottom, worst poll numbers going into the speech of any other president at this time, post-war president at this time in his presidency. You always get a bump. Judd, how many points is he going to bump?
I think he's going to bump down, I'd say, 2 more points. So it'll be firmly in the high 30s.
Dude.
Yeah, I'm thinking more of a dribble. So it's going to go up one, down one, up one, down one.
Okay. Nico?
I agree completely with Faz. I think... folks, I mean, this is what they've heard before, so nothing should really change.
So you agree with me. Good, Nico.
I think it was Faz.
You have
Faz.
A great way
so
to
agree.
I agree with Faz.
Okay, and quickly, what's really on our minds after we're finished with the Super Bowl that is State of the Union, the real Super Bowl, Steelers or Seahawks?
I'm going to go with Steelers. Can't stop the bus in Detroit.
Well, I mean, Jed Biosch, you're a huge Steelers fan, and I'm going to tell you right now that the Seahawks are going to win. They have a better quarterback. They have a better receiving core, an awesome offense. They're going to win.
Nico?
Steelers.
Okay.
Good call, Nico.
All right. You know what? I'm saying
Seahawks.
I threw
Seahawks. You a bone, Jed.
I'm going all the way. This has been Think Progress Radio. Log on to thinkprogress.org. We've got so much more. We can keep you going all night long. Thanks for listening. This is Christy Harvey from the Center for American Progress.
Think Progress Radio.